to see it from a notebook to a product on the shelf to in people's hands to people using it. Like, that was amazing. What is your actual title? You are a, I feel like you do a lot.
Anything from design to creative or art direction to strategy, marketing, social, photography, product photography. Oh, I think about the design of the product, not just in how it looks, but how it's actually used, how the client or end user rather is going to engage with it. Always take pride in your work. Like, your work is a direct reflection of who you are. So whatever work you produce, you have to make sure that you care about it.
Welcome back to Daily Deposits. I'm here with my good friend, the designer, Mason. Welcome to Daily Deposits. How are you feeling today?
I'm good. I've been busy, but thanks for having me, Dave.
Nice, nice, nice. So I wanted to bring you on because you are a big part of my brand, my company. You've been a friend, client. You've been around for a minute. I've seen your transformation through business, through life, through health, fitness. So I just had to have you on and just talk a little bit about that. And so what's up, man? I guess we could just get started with who you are and what do you do, especially for the brand 10.
Yeah, so I guess it's kind of hard to quantify because there's so many like little things, but everything from creative direction to actual design work, brand identity, strategy. We've talked about logistics, go to market, every little part of the process through packaging and development and all of those little details. So it's been, it's definitely been the full ringer of things. I think that's what's made it so rewarding though, is you get, especially working with a lot of small businesses, you get into the details. And those things can make it a lot more fulfilling compared to just, you know, working for a big corporate brand and designing thumbnails or LinkedIn posts or ebooks or, you know, something that's a little bit more generic. So, yeah, I think that's been the breadth of it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You touched on something versus small business versus big companies. What is it about the smaller companies that like get you going?
I mean, the sense of fulfillment from inception when you meet with a client and it's just an idea, right? It's nothing has been thought out. It's all of the details haven't been worked out yet. It's just passion at that point. But taking that idea, that passion, and molding it into an actual product, marketing it, building a brand around it, all of those things are really interesting. And it's a huge challenge. And that's part of the reason why I love it so much is you really have to get into the details and understand industry, understand what your clients' needs are, what they want. And that whole process, I think, is what keeps me so interested. When you work in design for a corporate company that's, you know, $1 billion company that is just churning, there's a lot of brand identity is defined, strategy is pretty much defined. You're just working on kind of minute details. And a lot of it's social content now or marketing related because there's not a lot of actual design work you're doing for the brand. And even then, maybe they release a new line of something or a new product and you do packaging or you do the go-to-market for it and all the content. But you're not really in it as much and that's not a frequent thing. Whereas like when we do brand development for your products, it's a constant kind of development of packaging, of design. And it's also like when you work with a small business, it changes a lot and you have to be ready to pivot. And I think that's the thing that's also exciting about it. I mean, one of the challenges as well that you know, of course, very well. But I think that's what's good. Those limitations that naturally arise, I think make it, your ideas have to be better and more focused, and you can't just pivot as quickly as a corporate company would if something goes wrong. Like you launch and then, okay, let's be quick to iterate. That kind of back and forth is what's, I guess, the most fulfilling thing. Besides realizing, like people realizing their vision from when it's a passion to like a product in hand. Mm-hmm. Like that's always a cool moment.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I have to always say thank you for bringing my ideas and like vision to life, because it started out in a notebook, you know, and to see it from a notebook to a product on the shelf to in people's hands to people using it, like that was amazing. So thank you. Does the challenge of the small business, does it ever get overwhelming to you?
There's still challenges, of course. I think they're just different. When you work with a smaller company, there's a lot more riding on, of course, like budget and the constraints of that, because oftentimes before you even sell a product, the amount of capital required, investment to get something off the ground, and it of course depends on what type of product you have. And if you're entering, like from your perspective, you're entering from an adjacent industry. So it's a little bit different. You have a client pool and stuff like that. But when you're working for a corporate company, you might have like tough or strict budget constraints, but you're not restricted in the way of like, you won't be able to afford certain things. You just have to be smarter with how you use it. And then also, when you're dealing with large companies, depending on the corporate company, the deadlines are a lot more strict. So like actually getting to market, like you encounter a lot of hurdles in that when you're working with smaller businesses, because it's just harder, of course. Like you don't have, your company doesn't have any rapport yet. You haven't built, you know, a example of who you are and an audience yet. So you're coming in fresh. Whereas like, of course, an incumbent corporate company has products, they have rapport, their brand has pull. So it's a little bit easier in that sense, but you're gonna be restricted and your hands are gonna be tied a lot when it comes to certain things. So design, all of those things, depending on the corporate company you work for, how strict brand guidelines are, and sometimes how strict packaging is, like what they specifically have to go with. Like we have to make it like this because our last product is packaged like this. Like sometimes there's more restrictions on things like that. Whereas when you're working with a small business and you're launching a product, there's a lot more flexibility. I mean, there's constraints and maybe we can't get the most luxury, you know, perfect packaging, but like vessel and stuff like that and how we position it, all of those things are a lot more flexible. So when you're ideating for a small business, although there's constraints on cost, there's less constraints on creativity. And you can oftentimes use creativity to solve those cost problems. Whereas like when you're working with a corporate company, you're a lot more limited on the creative end, but you have a lot more flexibility when it comes to budget and how you get things to market.
Gotcha. Which one do you prefer?
I would say I like the small business stuff better just because it's more the having to think creatively or critically around those challenges. I think I personally enjoy that. I like challenging myself and when it comes to things like that. It's also more engaging, like to have to sit there and say, okay, I need to follow these specific things and I need to work with this supplier and I need to work with this type of packaging is fine. And you get to be creative when it comes to like the design itself, but how it's packaged, the vessel it's in, all of those things are not in your control a lot of times as a designer. It goes, of course, into leadership and strategically them making those decisions. Whereas when you're working with a small business, I am the only contact. So I'm the person who's responsible for any and all of that. Of course, I'm going to get all the sign off and stuff like that from my client. But at the end of the day, I have more control over the entirety of the process, which is a lot more interesting than just being like, okay, you're going to design the dye line and that's it.
Okay. I see what you're saying. How long have you been... what is your actual title? You are a, I feel like you do a lot. So I don't, yeah, like even so, when we started this, I'm like, designer, you know,
it is tough when you do a lot for small businesses, cause it's really like anything and everything. The only things I don't touch are web development and videography.
Okay.
But anything from design to creative or art direction to strategy, marketing, social, photography, product photography, like any of those things are kind of what, or like my job kind of encompasses all of those things. So I like to just say creative director broadly, because that can entail a lot, but it is hard because like when you say creative director, most people are like, oh, so you don't do any of the actual design work. And it's like, no, I do all the design work too. But I guess that's what happens when you run a bit like run your own business, though. You end up doing a lot of jobs and you have a lot of hats. But I think it's probably hard to nail down one thing. And if I use too much, I went down the path of like using too much like industry lingo, and then people don't really know what that is. Especially like small business owners, like they're not in the corporate space. So a brand identity designer or a brand strategist is like, I mean, they can kind of understand what it is, but the details of what the role actually is wouldn't make sense. So I try to keep it as broad as possible, but yeah, it's definitely a lot of different jobs kind of mashed together.
Gotcha. Dang. Cause yeah, I mean, with the brand, with 10, you've done like so much for the brand. When people ask, they say, hey, who does your label? Who does it? I'm like, you know, it's my guy, Mason. It's like, but I never know, like, what to call you. I just, you know, it's Mason. Like, like he's the guy. Like, you know, when I came to you with the idea for 10, like, what was your, like, first impression? Like, was it something that got you excited to do, or was it? What was your first impression?
Well, I think I'd already known you at that point for a while. I mean, so I think it kind of encompassed what you were doing in terms of personally, like wellness and all of that. So I think it was exciting for me to see that you were transforming it into a brand. So when you first came, I remember when we had our first meeting was at Spectrum, right?
Yeah.
Like Irvine Spectrum.
Irvine.
And it was during the pandemic. So there was, we met outside. And I remember both of us just writing a bunch of stuff down in notebooks and on our laptops trying to figure out exactly what it would be. But I think we had kind of talked about it briefly, like just in the chair about what you and your products and what you're trying to gear yourself towards. And I think naturally in my own personal journey, I was trying to gear towards more natural products anyway. So I think that initially clicked, and figuring out, I mean, I saw the same things you did. Like it's hard to get those types of products. I mean, now it's a lot easier than even it was when we first started 5 years ago. But I think that was like my first impression was I was excited for you, because I think that's part of the, like, going back to what I said about working with small businesses, like when you see when you hear about the passion and it takes you, you can start to take it from an idea to a brand. I think that's like exciting. And it's great to see people wanna stretch themselves more than just like what they do normally. So, I mean, obviously you're a great barber, but like adding more to that, I think is always exciting to see.
Yeah, I agree. Forgot what I was gonna say. I was gonna follow up to what you said. We've been working together for how long now? It's been
about 5 years. I think 5 years. That meeting was in October of 2020.
Damn.
That would have been, yeah, because the pandemic was April, or like everyone got locked down in April, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would have still been in Orange County at that time.
Gotcha. Yeah. How do you explain that to your clients, or hell, anyone who's watching, of like how long the process takes sometimes for the design process?
Well, that specifically was kind of anomaly because we ran into so many like logistics problems with suppliers and stock and all of that. But even when I talk to clients now, I try to give them as much information up front about the process, because a lot of the design process is actually, or at least for me, is fairly quick. The challenges often come in the logistics, finding vessels, especially for beauty products. There's all the types of restrictions and regulations that you have to follow if you're working with a manufacturer, or if you're dealing with the, like, you do all your formulations yourself. So it's a lot easier. I've had clients that deal with a manufacturer who needs specific specs, barcodes, stuff like that, to make sure it's all tracked, right? When they ship it out eventually, when they, because they're doing fulfillment as well. So it it really depends on how much you're going to do yourself as a small business. The more you control, obviously, the more stress it is on you as a business owner, but also the more you can control your launch and how you produce your product and how long it takes, and knowing all of those details, where especially if you're dealing with a supplier overseas, you can say like, I want this product filled in this vessel and it's going to get shipped to you in this way. And then they get it and they don't respond for 2 weeks. And then they say, hey, the barcode doesn't scan.
Mm.
And it's like, why didn't you bring this up to me 2 weeks ago?
Right.
But like, both culturally and with time zone differences and stuff like that, when you're dealing with international suppliers, they're not as urgent on those kind of things. So you do have to kind of work in like, okay, now if we have to reduce like the size of this barcode or increase the size of this barcode, how does that affect layout for the rest of the design, right? And a lot of times it does impact it a lot when you're dealing with a small vessel. You have a limited amount of label space and you have to increase something by half an inch, and that's a lot. Right. So I always try to like preface these packaging conversations with those potential pitfalls, because you might just run into the issue of, I don't have enough space on the label to add it. So we need to cut down content. And that's another process where they have to go back internally. Right. And depending on how many people are working internally on the brand, come to a conclusion and an agreement on, okay, now this is the new content we're going to put on. Then I go back, mock it up, right, from a design perspective, redo all the layouts, change the sizing, and then go back to them for sign off, right? We come back to our packaging person and get dye lines sent in. They produce a sample and send that to the manufacturer who's creating the product and then filling the vessel, and then they sign off.
Mm.
And that whole process can take, depending on how long it takes for sign off, how long it takes for the sample to be produced, like that's another 4 to 6 weeks. So you're dealing with, initially you were ready to go to market, or at least ready to get everything filled and have product ready 8 weeks ago. And now you're back in the process 2 months. And that's just, there's nothing you can do about that. Because especially if you're a small business, because you're limited, you're not doing huge quantities. You're never going to be the premier client for a lot of these places. So of course you're not going to have priority in a lot of these things. And I'd like to say that all of the suppliers out there and manufacturers out there treat all of their clients equally in terms of priority and stuff like that, but it's really not true. And sometimes you just run into delays like that, and you know, you could have a launch scheduled for summer and it might not happen until winter or maybe even the following year, especially like that's just one instance on one product, right? If you're launching a product line and you have six, now multiply that process by six, right? So it's those things that I try to preface up front. It's hard to plan for them. And so I just try to be the most flexible and reliable. I think that's the most important thing when, as a creative working with a small business, if I can be flexible, have quick turnarounds, and be reliable in terms of like, okay, we need to change this. Okay, I'm on it, right? Yeah. Those are the things that are probably most important. But it's so hard to predict or to plan for those things, because those hurdles just will randomly come up. I mean, we dealt with it with suppliers and them find like coming back and saying, oh, we're not gonna have this line of vessel anymore, like this glass bottle, we're discontinuing it. It's just not, and you've already done all your branding around it, we've done all of our design around it, and we're like, okay, we just have to do a full 180 degree pivot to an entirely new vessel. And then like this supplier was the only one making that type of vessel.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, well now we have to completely change branding. We have to completely change labels. And that's always tough, but you know, it's not, that's, I guess one of the pitfalls of running a small business is you're kind of privy to those impacts.
Yeah, you're bringing up a bunch of anxiety of the things that we dealt with suppliers, with printers. Like, how do you even? You said you like to kind of try to explain that process, but how do you actually explain the unknown? Like, you know, because, yeah, we had no clue about what it would take to.
I think, the best way to bring it up is always with examples. I guess the unfortunate thing is, this, our example has become an example for my clients now. So someone has to be the first, right? But that's probably just the best way, is making sure. And then, well, the best way to prep for it on the client side is I always tell them to be as buttoned down as they can on everything that's going on their packaging. So whether it's ingredients, description, how to use, what the product is even called, like what do we need on there? And from the start, knowing that if we have to pivot, if we have to reduce something, if we have to change something, what's getting axed, right? Like there's non-negotiables that need to be on labels, just from a regulation and requirement standpoint, right? Those, of course, are no-brainers, but what kind of content in terms of the description, how do you want to, because that's all brand voice, right? Like how you describe your product, how you tell people to use your product, that has some importance to it. So I try to let people know, especially when we're dealing with a vessel that's not that just won't have the label space, yeah. is like just give them a heads up, like we might run into issues with layout because not all of this content might fit. So if we have to do some editing, right, just make sure you're aware of what is a nice to have versus what's a need to have. And that makes it easy. So when we deal with an issue with like barcodes, for example, and the manufacturer filling vessels and then realizing that they have no way of scanning the barcodes because they need to send it through their machine before they know, and they won't send it through unless it's a filled product. So they don't do testing. I mean, they do testing beforehand, but it's different when the product is filled and ready to ship versus when it's just just packaging, right?
Yeah.
So I always try to bring those things up early just so that clients are ready. Mm. And they have, so basically so they're not caught off guard by any of it.
Okay. Do you think your approach to design and is that common? It seems like you care a little bit more. I think I've worked with people where it's like, here you go, here's your design, adios. Or like where does your care come from?
Yeah, I think, well, one of the things that's just ingrained in me from when I was younger was, and something my parents taught me, but it was always take pride in your work. Like your work is a direct reflection of who you are. So whatever work you produce, you have to make sure that you care about it, right? No matter who it's for. And that's like first and foremost. But another thing I would say is I like to think about creativity a lot more strategically than a lot of designers do, because a lot of designers think about design as how creative can I be to create something that looks great, just to be very general, right? And for me, I think about so many other things in terms of, I mean, I guess this kind of comes with owning a business and being strategic about building brands and not just designing things that look nice, because you have designers who will just do design work. Right. And then you have people like me who do creative direction, design work, strategy, all of the above. And to do that, you need to have a level of critical thinking and problem solving that's added to it. Right. So if I design something beautiful, but it's not practical for a business owner, it doesn't matter. Like I could design, if I had no budget, right? I could design the most beautiful packaging and have that be, your product will look great. It'll attract people's attention, right? But if it doesn't fit within the guidelines of what the business owner wants and also what they can actually execute, then it doesn't matter. So it's that problem solving of, one, budget constraints, two, vision for like the business owner, what they want their product to look like. Three, like feasibility, right? How long is it going to take to produce? Any, I guess, stuff around getting it either on shelves, getting it shipped, like all of those details about if I use a paper label versus a label that has a finish, right? How is it going to be used when someone's applying it at the sink and water gets on the paper label, or where is it going to be used most frequently? Like when you're designing, especially beauty products or hair care products, you know, is it going to be in the shower? Is it going to be in the sink? Is it going to be in someone's medicine cabinet? Is it going to be, where is it going to be? Where is it going to live? Like those are all questions that I like to answer when I'm designing, because it affects how the product looks as well. Like if I have a paper finish, it's going to look different than if I have a gloss finish. The gloss finish might be better if it's going to get wet. the paper finish might be better if you want a nicer, more natural look, right? So those are the things that I think about, and they have more direct application, whereas it's not just what's the best looking thing. So a lot of times a creative director normally gives that as prompt details to whoever the designer is, but that is often missing, or I should say in a corporate setting, that's what happens. You have your creative director or art director who will give those guidelines, right? That brief to the designer, and the designer will then execute. But all of that's decided above them. Now, if you have a freelance designer who's working with a business owner, they expect the business owner to do that, but the business owner is not going to know that because they don't have a creative background. So it's that kind of client-centered process that I have to go through to kind of help you think just as creatively as me and help mold your ideas and sentiments into something that's actionable and actually tactical. And then I go and design something that I feel will fit that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I really felt that during our process of creating products and creating, like you asked me questions that I just had no, didn't even think about, right? Like you gave an example of like, does it sit in the shower? Does it, like, I just wanted to get the thing in somebody's hand. You're like, no, we got other things to think about. Like where's this thing going to sit when they're not using it? Like where, you know, and I was like, oh, didn't think about that. Cool.
Like, especially products that have like your products, right? They have a shelf life,
yeah,
right? Because they're all natural. They don't have anything else in them. Does it react to sunlight? Like, you know, when we decided to go with amber and stuff like that. So those details, because those details, I think, definitely impact design, because I can't just design you a label and then you're going to stick it on something. But the designer was thinking it would be on clear glass and you're using amber. That completely conflicts with the design.
Yeah.
So like having to understand the actual physical attributes of the product, like thinking about that holistically is super important, I think, in the process. And you can't, as a designer or as a creative, you can't just rely on your client to give those requirements to you. Because then you get into the issue of, I designed something great, but you're not utilizing like how I wanted you, how I thought it was going to be. And now the design isn't working as well.
So do you have to pull out answers from people? Like, I mean, you have to do it with me, but is it more upfront now, or is it more like, these are the things that you should think about, like, while we're designing this? Like, does it come out sooner?
So I make a point of doing it before I even start designing. So now in my process, and when I sat down with you, I was still refining my process, and so a lot of it just came up in questions as we were chatting, right?
Okay.
But now in my process, I do a creative direction review before I even get to designing, where I do like a very basic mock-up of what I think the product should look like. And I leave that meeting with action items of those types of questions. Where is this product going to live in the client's or in your end user's, so your customer's house? Right. Especially if it's a physical, talking about hair care and stuff like that. Where is it? How frequently are they going to use it? Is this every day? Is it a twice a day? Is it a once a week? Right. Because that matters in terms of how much they're opening it, how much they're looking at. I mean, how much it's seeing light, how much it's getting exposed to oxygen, like all of these details. Right. Because that will inform what vessel the client picks. And then based on what vessel you pick, that naturally will influence the design. So that's why I try to get it out. And even if the client has like a very specific vessel they have in mind, just like still asking those questions, because they might go, oh, I initially wanted maybe a pump, right? And a bottle. But it might be better if I just have a jar. Because if I'm using it every day, all the time, it's easier to get it out of a jar,
right?
And you don't have to worry about product going to waste. Whereas like you use something with a pump, especially if it's like a moisturizer or a body butter or something like that, right? You're always going to run into the issue of, at the end of your product, how am I getting the rest of my product out? And depending on the price point of your product, customers might feel it's some type of way about the value they're getting and how easy it is to use. So I think about the design of the product, not just in how it looks, but how it's actually used, how the client or end user rather is going to engage with it.
Your approach to design is how I approach hair in thinking of how are they using their hair or how are they styling their hair after they leave the shop? Like, I can come up with this crazy nice hairstyle and like you leave out feeling like, you know, you're Johnny Depp or, you know, I can't think of any names, but I could do that for you. And then you get home and you're just looking in the mirror like, all right, well, how do I do that again? So I think of like how they can style it. How's it going to look in a week from now? How's it going to look 2 weeks from now? Because some people don't get cut every week. So I think when I felt that level of care and questions that you asked me, I was like, all right, this is great. Like, this is cool. So that's awesome. So I do have a special guest here today. I did not let Mason know that you were coming. I kind of forgot, but also was busy with everything else. But we do have a special guest here today. It fits in with what we're talking about as far as brand design. He's a designer as well. So if you're open to it, you got a few more minutes. I can set up another camera and then we can continue this on. And yeah.
Sounds good.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a wrap on Mason's episode.